Hey everybody, welcome to the Faith and Fandom Podcast. I'm Hector Mirai, and today I am joined by my friend John Jacobs. If you've been by some of the North Carolina cons, you might have seen him there helping out our booth. John's a friend of mine, and he's also one of our Patreon supporters, and he supports at the podcast level, so he gets to pick a podcast we do together. And so, just so happens that yesterday, the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer dropped, so guess what we're talking about? We're talking about Spider-Man No Way Home trailer. So, John, before we jump into anything else, what are your initial thoughts about the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer? Because for y'all that don't know, John is, I'll say, the biggest Spider-Man fan I know. There's Lyle, who works with me, is maybe close. But John's the biggest Spider-Man fan I know. So tell us, how you feel, player?
Man, I can't even... Put it this way, when I first heard it was out, I was watching X-Men Apocalypse with my nephew, who thought it would be a good idea to watch all the X-Men movies. And so it dropped in the middle of that movie, and he goes, "Man, why is your phone going off?" And I said, "The Spider-Man trailer just dropped." And he goes, "Oh, let's just stop and watch it on the phone." I says, "No, we're going to watch it on the big screen." And, like, I was geeking out, man. I did a fat man wiggle off the couch into a jump, and my skin was crawling the whole time because it's everything I wanted it to be and more. It was so fantastic, man. Just the look, the feel of it, you know, Strange, and just all the elements were there. And then the way the trailer went off was absolutely fantastic.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to play through the trailer little bit by bit, and we're going to talk about it. And the trailer's only 2 minutes and 50 seconds or something like that, close to 3 minutes. We're just going to go over some stuff to talk about, because the internet's all been abuzz about it, you know, already. And so they've got, you know, people excited about different things and stuff that's going on with that. So talking about the first scene that we see in the trailer is Spidey and MJ on what looks like a rooftop and some helicopters. Any thoughts here? Anything you want to say? Or are you just good here?
That she's weird. Like, nobody's that cool with heights from the get-go, bro.
I'm gonna get this in a minute, but like, I think there's some stuff that's gonna play out pretty well with Mysterio and stuff like that as we're dealing with that. We see Spider-Man buy a government looking vehicle, talking to a woman, and Peter Parker's in a suit. So I'm gonna say this is right after his trial.
I think it's before or during, and I'm excited about this part that they haven't really talked about, because I personally think my man Matt Murdock is going to show up.
I'm going to get to that. I don't think we will. And here's why. I personally, and I'm going to tell you why when we get to this point in the trailer, I don't think the Mysterio charges last long at all. I'm almost to the point, bro, I don't think it's past opening credits. And here's why I say that. Most of the movie we see Peter back at, or we'll cover it in the trailer too as we go into it, but we see Peter freely laying on the roof with MJ. We see Peter back at school with his photo being taken and everything else. We see him out and about. And when they actually drop that stack of files, like, "You own the drones that killed Mysterio," type thing, there's going to be something that's going to get him out of there. Otherwise, if he was still being held for murder, dude would not be at school.
I mean, I don't know, man. Like, maybe they geotagged this dude or something. It's Spider-Man. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe they ROR'd that dude.
Flight risk. If he was legit still even questioned for murder, they're not going to let us. If he was legit an issue, they're worried he'd be on the raft. He'd be on the raft waiting his trial hearing because he's a superhero. The only way that he doesn't immediately get out of the Mysterio thing is that, now what I'm going to say is, somebody on the tech level is able to quickly show what really happened. He's going to get acquitted. We're sitting here, what is this, like August? Yeah. This movie comes out in November. I'm sitting here with you now. I'm saying it. The Mysterio portion will be over in the first 20 minutes. On record. Here we go.
That's long enough for Matt to show up and be like, "Hey, man, I got you."
Yeah, I get it. But he's not going to be a long occurring character. I just don't think the Mysterio thing's going to play out. So we got Peter over by Lady in a government vehicle. We see Doctor Strange on a train, which we'll get back there. to that, because there's going to be more of that in there.
The Inception section of the trailer.
And then, the Inception. So one of the first real scenes we have them is MJ and Peter laying on a roof talking about the newspaper article. Now, here's the thing. When they're talking about this, you're like, you know, Peter's rumored to have the powers to, like, hypnotize women and stuff like that. Which is, one, that's super cute. But two, way too much freedom here for legal issues to still be a thing. Like, there just seems way too much stuff because, one, even if he was on house arrest or whatever, he wouldn't be there. I'm just saying, as a writer, as a as somebody, as like plot studier person, I don't see that being a thing. But how did you like the little interaction with MJ and Peter there?
What I thought was cool about it is that like she was very still MJ, the MJ that they created for the MCU. She seemed to care more about Peter than she did about Spider-Man, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which would seem to be a real fear that he had when she's like, nah, man, I knew you were Spider-Man the whole time. In the last film, he kind of see his heart break just a little bit. And then she's like, oh, my God, you're really Spider-Man. Like, it was kind of – that was really her just kind of trying to hide her geekiness and, like, the fact she was really into him. And that seems – that genuineness of her – being really into him and him being really into her was kind of like they're kind of getting comfortable with each other. And that was really cool.
Okay. One of the things that points out to me is the fact that this has been going on long enough that they're not calling him a murderer or anything like that at this point. They're talking about his rumored powers. So he's moved from threat level midnight to being a subject of tabloid level discussion.
Well, it seems to me a little bit like that the world is fascinated by this young kid who done all these crazy things with Tony Stark and the Avengers, that he's just barely into adulthood, right?
Yeah.
And some of that, you know, it feels a little bit like the tone here is the whole world has gotten a little bit of TMZ, J. Jonah Jameson going on, like speculating who Spider-Man is, who Peter Parker is, like, well, who's the real character? Almost like is it Superman or Clark Kent type thing?
Yeah. All right, so moving on, they have their sweet little moment on the rooftop, just chilling. Like, she's even got, like, a pillow or something. And, no, that's her backpack. So this is after school then. She'd have her backpack reading this tabloid stuff, and they're having these conversations. But you see Peter swinging through New York with MJ in his arms while J. Jonah is playing in the background. And how excited for you as a Spider-Man fan to have him back playing J. Jonah Jameson?
When I heard the voice, I kind of, after seeing Into the Spider-Verse, I kind of felt like this is too good of a film not to bring to live action. And when I heard his voice for the first time, I was like, this is it. He's going to be in the film. And I was talking to a lot of my friends, like, no, there's like, they would never do Into the Spider-Verse. Like, it's a live action thing. It'd be too big. I was like, that's exactly the reason they'll do it. It's a way to do another Avengers-style movie with just one character. And I really feel like that's what's going to happen. But he was the first clue that kind of got me super excited. I loved his voice in the game. And it's just another way to bring a fantastic character across the board through multiple Spider-Man movies.
And I feel like, too, though, everybody, like, he was one of the most sustainable things from the Spider-Man movies. And he's only gotten more fame, like, in the geek world with being Homelander. Not Homelander, I'm sorry.
Omni-Man.
Omni-Man in Invincible. You know, even, like, his role as Commissioner Gordon in the Snyder Cut was pretty dope. So, like, he wasn't much of a character in terms of, like, you know, Justice League and the Justice League. But in the Snyder Cut, he had more stuff. So, I mean, he's kind of secured it. So, I just love seeing him actually translate from piece to piece.
Yeah. What's really cool is too is that he's one of the very few actors that I know of. Matter of fact, the only one I can think of off the top of my head who's crossed three different like companies, right? The Image Comics and then DC and Marvel.
Yeah, he's done a lot. He's been all over the place and he's done a lot of independent stuff too. It's really neat to see him in this capacity. But they're swinging through New York. He's still on all the Jumbotrons and everything else, talking about Peter being a menace. And But we still see Spidey here in the classic costume. Anything jump out at you about this part?
Just that he's like that he's learning to he has to live with this whole this mystique about him. Like he's got to be still himself while the whole world is like, oh my god, like I might hate this kid.
Yeah. So they swing through and they're saying he's public enemy number one, and so at this point I feel like this is right after the last movie, Far From Home. I feel like this is before he's been brought in.
Yeah. Another thing too that I thought was kind of crazy at this part is that like you know the snap happened at this point, right? You know there's Thanos level type characters out here. But yet, you're trying, as a news station or a news outlet, you're trying to convince the entire world that Spider-Man is the number one threat.
Well, you got to keep in mind, too, though, that the snap happened before the last movie.
Yeah, but they would know about it, though.
Right, right. They're bigger threats, but they've all been handled.
Yeah, but, like, it's just, to me, it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I just don't see how they're going to try to paint it so that he's
really murdered a superhero.
I don't know, man. That's just there's gonna have to be some type of plot element, some type of story created to for me to believe that they believe that he's this bad of a character.
No, but I think this is just advertising on Jameson's part. But still, so we see that we see Peter being brought in and arrested, and saying that the drones killed Mysterio, and that in turn they're gonna say that you own the drones, and. Like, we see him with a folder looking through this stuff, and reality that they're going to tie him to the Stark stuff that actually he ended up in possession of with the glasses and everything else in the previous movie.
That's kind of that them bringing the stuff in, saying you own the drones, made me realize that, oh, my God, he actually might be in some danger here, simply because when he first puts the glasses on, he almost wiped out a whole bus full of, like, high school students. And I'm just like, man, are they going to use that against him? What if... Because he's such a noble guy. Like, what if he slips up and says, you know what? No, I didn't mean to do this, or I almost did this, but I saved the day. And it was like, so you just admitted to trying to kill your entire class. That's going to be kind of wild.
I don't think there was ever, like, a legit, because that was on the road. I doubt there's even a real police support.
No, but, like, if he mentions that, though, like, he's the type of person who would fall in that trap of saying more than he should have.
Okay. So, to get this, but the fact is, how they're dealing with him here and everything else just makes me feel like, again, less of a murder threat, more of like a just they know he's caught in something small. We see them in bed chatting with each other, just dealing with it. And this is where we see Peter going back to school and holding hands with MJ. Ned's behind him. And one of the things, though, there's them on the rooftop. One of the things, they've leaked some clothing apparel from the movie. I don't know if you've seen this or not. There's a whole clothing line of, I believe, Mysterio.
I hadn't seen that yet.
Okay, that's a leaked thing of there's a whole clothing line out there of Mysterio was right, I believe Mysterio, stuff like that.
Like and, Team Mysterio type stuff?
Yes.
Oh, man.
And so what's going to happen, I think, there is that he's going to get easily acquitted, but everybody's still going to think.
Kind of like a Spider-Man meets OJ thing?
Yeah. I think it's going to be that he's going to be carrying that with him, and that he's going to be freed from it, but he's still going to have the whole world thinking he's the bad guy.
One thing about this scene we just seen where Peter and Mary Jane and Ned are walking into the school is that Ned's face looked like he was just cool with it, bro. Like, it was kind of cold to see Ned just kind of like not even have any worry on his face. I'm like, bro, like, you realize what is going on? Like,
but again, that's another reason why I think he's free on charges. I really feel like that's what we're going to see there, is that he is in the clear completely. But as we're going on with the trailer, we see this, one of the next things is Peter walked through the hall, everybody's taking their phones out. And again, you don't let a kid charged with murder walk through a high school hallway unsupervised.
Well, I feel like this is after everything is said and done.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But if you look at the way the pacing is, even for the potential storytelling, for all the junk that has to happen with the multiverse and all the other villains and stuff, the only way that fits in a 2.5-hour movie...
I mean, if it's 30 minutes long, 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's got to be the first 20 minutes to pull that off. But he's walking through the hallway doing this stuff. Aunt May's worried. There's cops outside. Ned's in the interrogation thing, which I'm pretty sure Ned in the interrogation is the same time that Peter's in the other room with the files and everything else. I'm pretty sure that's the thing. Aunt May looking worried. Look at them trying to make Marissa Tomei not look cute.
I had just watched a season one of A Different World the other day, and I was like, man, Marissa Tomei is gorgeous.
I didn't remember that she was in A Different World.
Yes, she is definitely in there.
Okay. So they got Marissa Tomei in some Stan Lee-looking glasses trying to not look cute.
Right.
Looking worried and everything else. And then you got Peter, and he sees these, what I'm assuming are Doctor Strange witch Halloween lights, and you know, he gets the idea of going to Doctor Strange. Now, my friend Danny, who writes Ace Blade, which is a comic book series about a Vegas vigilante, he was saying that this had to be like a multiversal thing or something else with Doctor Strange, because Doctor Strange dressed like a hobo. And I was like,
I don't know. I don't know if he dressed like a hobo, but it was definitely strange for Strange.
Now, but look, here's why. Check it out. What do you see about Strange's mansion?
The whole ice thing, and it's kind of like there's just stuff randomly scattered around.
The entire mansion, everything we see in the Sanctum Supreme in these first few minutes of the trailer is frozen over. He's not dressed strange because he's a weird character. He's legit cold. Because when you see him in a second, he's wearing a hoodie, a parka,
and the cape.
And then the cape on top of it. And he's got a coffee cup. If you look closely at the coffee cup, it says, "Oh, for Fox's sake."
There was a, well, I guess we'll get to it. There's another point where I thought he may not be the Strange we think he is.
Okay. So we see Doctor Strange coming down an Elsa frozen staircase. As Peter walks in, and they're saying, now, look right here. He casts a fire out of politeness because it's cold up in there. Because literally, you can see there is frost.
On everything.
On everything. And he's holding his coffee cup. He's wearing his parka.
Maybe that's how to introduce Iceman, bro.
but he's asking Peter, or Peter's asking him to, you know, do the thing where you erase everybody's memory of him. And, you know, Wong's like, oh, now, hold up. Let's backtrack right here because this is where we need to look at. Right in the middle of that, we get Peter in the black suit. So get ready. I'm going to pause this as quick as I can right here. We get Peter in the... Right here. Now, look. Just looking at it, I know we're going to get a better shot. But like, let's look here. I'm going to... If solid black Spider-Man suit.
I mean, I don't know, man.
Look.
It does look really dark. It could be like the lighting's not there, so like,
yeah, you know, you're right.
Gold stuff on it.
It might not be, but like we see what looks to be like a Secret Wars era Spider-Man black suit, not the symbiote.
The reason I don't think it's the black suit that everybody thinks it is simply because that'd be literally too much awesomeness. With knowing how this trailer ends and knowing everything they're trying to cram into this movie that we, I guess now is absolutely official, I think that would be too much. I really do.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but Spider-Man movies don't usually know when to stop.
I mean, yeah, I've seen Spider-Man 3.
Okay. So we see Spidey in a black suit running through a school cafeteria. We see a crowd on 33rd Street, which I assume means something. We see him being mobbed with MJ in costume, back to him and Strange. And if you look, you can literally see like what looks to be like an inch of snow across the whole floor. So I still think that's why he's dressed that way. But here we've got him in full normal costume. Like right after that, he's in his full blue regalia.
Yeah, but I still don't think it's the regular Strange, bro. I don't think it's our Strange.
I think it is, because he said we saved the world together. And Wong saying, you know, don't do this. It's a bad life choice. And also, something else has to be going on because Wong's leaving. And Wong, if you notice, Wong's not just leaving. Wong's leaving with a bunch of luggage.
Here's my thing. Yeah. Okay. But he talks to Strange in a way that otherwise Strange has gotten lax on his ability to use magic or something's hindering him from using, or there's something else going on, which is why I think leads to the multiverse situation.
I don't even think I hear you. I don't think that's a wrong idea. I think he's just telling him because Strange is stupid and he'll do stupid stuff. Like, he'll do reckless things. And think about it. The stuff that Strange pulled off in his movie plus Endgame, you think, how much of the stuff that Strange did would he have done had Wong been standing there telling him to do it or not to do it? Wong always shuts Strange down. He's a magical blocker for when it comes to Strange doing some reckless junk. Wong would have never approved the Endgame plan.
Oh, the whole, like, replacing of the gems and all that good
stuff. Yeah, Wong would have never gotten down with that. So Strange winks at him. We see them going down into the lower levels of the Sanctum Supreme, pouring out. Now, something interesting specifically, you see him pouring out this orange liquid, and he starts to whirl it around in the air. Now, as he's doing this, though, if you pay close attention to it, it specifically looks like the energy and stuff that we saw in Loki.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that came from pruning and everything else. So it's almost like they consistently made the orange color be the time essence and stuff like that with it. He starts to do the spell. Peter starts asking about Aunt May, or not May, but Mary Jane and Ned. And so I think it's hilarious to me that throughout the history of him being, through Tom Holland being in the MCU, that there has constantly been an issue of the fact that him talking too much ruins things.
Well, yeah, it exemplifies that Spider-Man and just a teenager in general. Like, hey, man, let's do this thing. And so he goes to Strange, and as he's talking to Strange about it, Strange is kind of going along with him, and then he's kind of actually talking it out as the spell is being cast or as this conjuring is happening. And he goes, oh, but I didn't think about this. And Strange is like, hey, man, I need you to stop talking. So it kind of doesn't matter. We know at this point that no matter what happens, it's not going to end well for Peter.
But I think it's just also a jab at Tom Holland for the fact you can't shut up and you ruin the world.
Yeah, somebody made the meme that, oh my God, someone leaked the Spider-Man trailer and it's Tom Holland.
Oh, it's not me. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, it's not me.
But literally, Tom Holland talking too much once again ruins the world. So we see this, and as it does it, if you notice too, like when it starts to become really unstable and it blows up, you can straight see the purple that is around Kang's stuff. You actually can see the same purple that was around the multiverse stuff that we see around Kang's place in Loki, and the same vibe that we saw inside the quantum realm. So we see the same color scheme, the same vibe that's inside the quantum realm.
Yeah, a little flash of green and purples and stuff like that.
Yeah, you get everything. So they straight up say, hey, look, we're directly relating this back to Loki, the quantum realm, and everything else. And then, of course, everything falls apart, and he's like, what just happened? And it says this Christmas, November 17th, though. Once again, we've got the world falling on top of each other, Inception style, which we saw in the Doctor Strange movie. But this is more multiverse stuff falling apart, like the world's collapsing on each other, Doctor Strange flying after Spider-Man as they Inception hole down there. We see explosions, and then we got Doctor Strange on the train. All right, speculatively, Peter has a history of doing scenes with trains.
Yes, always.
Always.
The classic, I'm in front of the train, webs out, stopping it.
The classic, I'm in front of the train. We also had him doing stuff with the train in Spider-Verse.
Yep.
All this stuff happening. What do you think is happening on this scene with Doctor Strange on the train? We see him like spinning like tubes around, almost making like a roller coaster projection. So what do you think is happening right there with the trains and everything spinning around, all that?
I didn't really give much credence to it. I thought a little bit like maybe the train isn't supposed to be there at all. That it may be a little bit like it's a parts of the different universes come together, and that it's Strange and villains off screen that we don't see.
Yeah.
And he's trying to maybe like wrap these trains around Peter to get him closer to wherever this villain is so he can do whatever.
Okay. And then we get this dialogue between Strange and Peter where he says the problem is you're trying to live two lives, and the longer you do that, the more dangerous it is. And then You know, we get that great dialogue, but then we get this epic shot of Strange projecting Peter out of Spider-Man. What's your vibe here? What do you think is going on?
I don't know, man, because, like, I know I was hoping, you know, part of me was like, man, are they going to do, like, you know, are they setting up, like, some Spider-Clone stuff after this? Or is he just, is it going to be, like, one of those weird 20, 30-minute sections where he gets to see his life as Spider-Man separately from Peter Parker, and then he gets to be Peter Parker? Like, how's that going to work out? I'm hoping it's one of those things where Peter learns that he can't be Peter Parker and then Spider-Man, that it has to be both of those things at one time.
I don't think any of that's bad. I don't disagree with that particularly. Here's some things I see specifically just in the scene. If you notice, Strange has a box or bag, something attached to him that kind of, if you've ever watched Doctor Who season, whatever, the 50th anniversary, there's this box called The Moment. But Strange has this, like, mother box-looking thing directly in front of him. And as Peter's getting projected out of Spider-Man, Spider-Man's hand is in it. Strange has something in his possession, and Peter is literally trying to reach in it, and he gets yeeted out. So I think at some point here, things have gone so wrong that Peter is now fighting against whatever Strange thinks is the best course of action. Like, Strange says, we got to do this. Peter's like, no, we can't do this. And Peter literally tries to intervene and gets yeeted out of his own body.
So could it be, like, almost like in Loki where they reset the moment type thing? Like, it helps reset, instead of the moment, maybe it helps reset an individual?
It could be. But I just see there's this weird box, Peter reaching into it, and Peter getting yeeted. So, and I think that's going to play a big thing. As he gets projected out, we see the Iron Spider suits. What was that right there? I didn't pay attention to that before. Let's back that up just a hair. Yeet. So we saw Peter with the Iron Spider suit, which is, you know, that tells me one thing of just like he still has access to his tech, because this obviously is in a place where he still has able to get a hold of his Stark level gear.
Yeah, I saw that. My thing was, how much of Stark Industries is he in control of? As an 18-year-old kid, like, you know, post trial, currently going through, does the world hate me or not phase? Does he still have access to all that tech, or is it just the one jet from, you know, from home?
And so there's stuff, and see, we see dudes with armed assault rifles going after people. We see them closing in on Happy in the car, you know, and you can see sniper sights on him. Like, there's red sniper lines right there. So there are people closing in on Happy, and I think that it's going to be the one more day thing. Which, personally, One More Day is one of the worst comic books ever created. but if you're unfamiliar with One More Day, it's the fact that when Peter's identity gets revealed in Civil War, somebody has Aunt May shot. And this looks way too much like, once his identity's open, that people are going to be, and I'm pretty sure that instead of Aunt May, they're going to take out Happy. I think that's because that's going to be the new Uncle Ben moment.
I don't want that to happen, because this man's been through enough already, bro.
But we didn't get with this Peter, because we jumped in.
Yeah.
We didn't get the Uncle Ben moment.
I mean, we kind of got it with Tony, though, man.
That's a different thing. That's so him heroically sacrificing himself for the good of the universe. This is something, a direct result of his bad actions, or even good actions, a direct result of his actions.
So you don't mean just the father figure being missing. You mean it being taken out because of something Peter did.
Yes. Okay. And so I think because we didn't get an Uncle Ben moment in the first movie, they're giving us our Uncle Ben moment in the third movie. And I think it's going to be them taking out Happy. So we see some lightning striking here. We get Electro.
I'm assuming that was Electro myself.
Yeah, we see some lightning striking right there, and that looks like it's could be Electro or it could be Shocker.
Well, back at, speaking of that, since it's the multiverse thing, I was thinking, like, well, how cool would it be that Jamie Foxx shows up with a new, like, updated retro-style movie version of the old yellow and green? I think that would be dope.
It would be. So we got in either an Electro or a Shocker here. Somebody doing that, and I'm just going with, because somebody was Shocker in already in this.
There was two Shockers technically.
Yeah.
The one guy had the equipment, and then he gets killed off, and the other guy puts the equipment on.
But notice, I don't see equipment here. This is just straight flesh. So on that note, I'm going to go with Electro. Then we cut to the highway scene, and we see a classic Sam Raimi-era pumpkin bomb.
Oh, man, this is the one that got me. This is the point where I literally am wiggling off the couch, and I jump up with excitement, and I'm just absolutely lost it.
And we don't have the audio on, but I'm pretty sure, too, also before we saw this,
you hear it.
We hear the Green Goblin voice.
Oh, man, I was speaking to someone, like, what I really liked about Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin, I felt like he played a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, but as Green Goblin. And it was so great, man. The mirror scene and the idea of seeing him on screen again as Goblin is just going to be so awesome to see.
So we got the pumpkin bomb rolling on. We get the highway explosion. And we hear the sinister voice of Green Goblin and all that stuff. That's where we get that scene of Peter in a suit with the lady in the car. We see the Oct tentacle pop out. We see more of that. We see Doc Ock pop out. But not only does Doc Ock pop out, he says, "Hello, Peter."
And this is the scene I talked about 20 minutes with one of my friends. He thinks that they don't recognize each other, that he, like, maybe Doc Ock was told about Peter. I personally believe, because Doc Ock's history and who he is, that it may be quite possible that he knows about other Peter Parkers. He knows about the multiverse, that this is part of who his knowledge, and that Peter may not even know who Doc Ock is at all, never even heard of him at this point in the movie. So when he says that, he clearly knows who Peter is, but Peter doesn't.
So with that, travel back to Spider-Man 2 with me. At any point, because I've not seen Spider-Man 2 in like 15 years, so roll with me, okay? Did Peter and Octavius interact out of costume in Spider-Man 2? Did he have a relationship with Doc Ock outside of that? Because like,
you mean outside of the initial interaction where the tritium jacks up and he goes in and it pops the chip?
Yeah. Like, but they had that interaction, so they met before the costumes.
Yes.
Okay. It's been a minute, so I was just checking that for quality control. All right, so that's the thing. I lean towards the, you know, he knows that, it could be that this is Doc from the Sam Raimi world, which is obviously what we're seeing some of. But, you know, it could be that he knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. But not that's this Peter Parker. Like, it could be.
I mean, it could be, like, he recognizes the suit and he jumps in and says, "Hi, Peter." And when Tom turns his head, he knows that, okay, in fact, this is Peter Parker. Because he obviously knows he's transported there, or he comes into the universe that's not his own.
Right. So we see that, the "Hello, Peter." And he's in costume there, but not masked. Oh, it pops up.
Yeah, he goes into it.
So we see the Spider-Man No Way Home thing. All right. So after everything we just seen in the trailer, ask you this. How do you feel like it's going to play out with the other Spider-Mans?
Oh, man. At this point, anything's possible. I have no idea. I really want to see Tobey Maguire as Old Man Spider-Man. I really want to see that. I just think he would look cool as like a heavier set, scruffy bearded Spider-Man, no mask on, just olive green jacket, just kind of like, yeah, man, life is what it is.
A Peter B. Parker-esque Spider-Man.
Because my hope is that, like, you know, like, Because some of these characters are very, very different from each other. Spider-Man has got Spider-Man style powers, blah, 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 whatever. But to I wanted to hear him talk about, you know, like him and Mary Jane having issues. And you know, our Tom Holland Spider-Man is looking at him like, you know, looking at his Mary Jane like, you know, is that what I got to look forward to? Or a scene where Mary Janes are giving each other advice about relationships. That'd be kind of cool. I think it's going to be as good as the Spider-Verse was, but on screen.
I am real, real hesitant that that's going to be the far from the case. I think Spider-Verse was done so well that I have a fear that this is going to look like Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern compared to Into the Spider-Verse.
I mean, to me, it's obvious that they're chasing that magic, right?
They're chasing that magic, and here's the thing. I believe that if Spider-Verse had failed, we wouldn't be going this deep into it. But Spider-Verse,
to me, Spider-Verse was a very much like a Hail Mary. Like, we got one shot at this thing. Let's just go all out with it. And I really felt like they went all out with it. I mean, like, you got Nicolas Cage playing Spider-Man, bro.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Well, he's played Superman now. He's played Spider-Man now. He's played Big Daddy now.
When are we going to be Batman? Like, Nicolas Cage Batman?
I don't know.
Like, the Joker or something like that? Like.
But, so, with this, I don't think, I am genuinely worried that it won't be as good as Spider-Verse. I think it's going to be a hard road to pass off. And here's the thing, I know DC movies have not been financially the most viable films. I know that Batman has not always been represented. I know the struggles of the Snyderverse and the DCEU. But on a statistical scale, every Spider-Man movie has made less money than the one before. Up until we got to the MCU. Up until we got to like the stuff that we're in now, every Spider-Man progressively got a lower box office record. Every Spider-Man had, in a lot of ways, minus two twos, as most people think is the best.
Yeah.
And as we do that, like, Spider-Man doesn't have the best track record, and I think that's why, because Into the Spider-Verse had not a great box office, but it had a better response, and in some accounts, technically, it's the first Marvel movie to win an Academy Award, because it won a few minutes before Black Panther won.
I don't think it has to be as good as Into the Spider-Verse. I think it's got to meet some type of expectation, right? Like, I don't want to go in this movie thinking, okay, at a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to see a straight-up 10, and I'm obviously might be disappointed. But I'm guessing it's got to be an 8, man. Like, I wanna, like, you know, it's got to be better than average, right? The big thing for me is that I'm a Spider-Man fan. I was a Spider-Man fan until I met Venom. And I really became a huge Spider-Man fan because I'm a big, like, ridiculously huge Venom fan. And for me, I feel like they're going to have a hard time because they're tying in three different movie universes. Somebody said, well, we've only seen two so far in the trailer. I'm like, I guarantee you a third one's coming.
What third one?
I don't think they're going to sit back and chill and let Venom sit on his own by himself or Morbius just sit by themselves. The reason being is the Morbius trailer clearly shows the Vulture. It clearly shows the Sam Raimi Spider-Man poster that has murderer written on it. And I don't think Sony is going to sit by. It's like, you know what? Let's let Venom not be in this movie. I'm calling it right now. Tom Hardy's going to show up, whether it's 5 seconds, a screenshot, or a headshot. He is going to be mentioned in some way, shape, form, or fashion in the Morbius movie. I put money on it.
So you think Tom Hardy will be in there?
Tom Hardy will be in the Morbius movie, for sure. And the Morbius movie is already connected to the MCU through Vulture. So then you would have the whatever going on with Venom and other Spider-Man villains with the Sony Spider-Man pictures with the MCU. So you got all that crossing over. And that's a lot. And it's a lofty goal to try to make all that work. But I think in a weird world, it might work. The only weird part is Topher Grace is also connected to it now. And I don't like that Venom.
Only thing I want to see is Tom Hardy eat Topher Grace's Venom.
I would pay money to see that. If that there's like a 15-second movie where Venom walks in as the Tom Hardy and he eats the other Venom, I'm okay with that 100%. No offense to Topher Grace, but I would have took the money too, bro.
Topher Grace did the best he could with what he did.
That wasn't his fault.
No. So what do you feel like? I personally, my money is on we get Emma Stone as Spider Gwen.
That's all, but it should all be but assured right now. If you look at the way the character has been drawn lately, you know, like the look of her, and I think Emma Stone did a great job as Gwen Stacy. I think
she'd do a better job as Spider Gwen.
Yes, I think she went out way too soon. Of course, it's
yeah, it's I get story.
Why they did it, but that character needs to come back. And with the way they're bringing, it seems to be they're bringing other Spider-Man back, and they're bringing other villains back. Why not bring a past character who's passed away back as a hero? It'd be awesome. I mean, besides, like, I really, honestly, personally, being a Spider-Man fan, I want Spider-Gwen to be the next Spider-Man game. I probably won't get it, but that's what I really want.
So, for you, end of the day, looking at this, what do you think would constitute a successful version of this film? Box office, forget box office. What do you think would constitute a successful version of this film, and what would constitute a failure of this film?
I'm trying to walk into this film without my ridiculous Spider-Man bias already laid on top of it, but and say, listen, I recognize these characters. I know these characters. I know the storylines they come from. I just need whatever storyline you create on screen to make sense. I need it to resemble something I've seen before, I've read before, but I want it to be its own thing. I don't want to see something on screen that I could just crack a book open and read. I think going back to one of the first super successful comic films, the first X-Men movie, the reason I thought that was such a great film, it still is to me, is that they recreated on-screen characters from a book, and I can't crack open a book and read that story, right? I can't crack open a book and look at characters like that until after that series came out. And I want it to grow. I want it to go on its own thing. To me, success would be in somewhere with, you know, them introducing new characters as villains or bringing in old characters that we haven't seen before. Now, I would love for, you know, for example, whoever's got these red dots on Happy, I would flip out.
You wanted to be Kraven the Hunter.
I absolutely wanted to be Kraven the Hunter. I would love for that to happen. I know that's kind of too big to introduce if that, in fact, is the black suit Spider-Man. If, in fact, that'd be Kraven. That'd be introducing too much at one time. But to me, it'd be kind of cool if the whole movie goes through and then they kind of tease a villain or a hero at the end.
Well, here's the thing. Third Spider-Man movies don't have a good track record.
Absolutely don't.
They have a bad track record for either not happening or or for overdoing it. Do you feel like for all the things that would make this good, they already look like they're jumping the shark on overdoing it. Careful not to tap that. Do you feel like where's the line before it's too much?
I don't know. Like they may have already crossed it and we don't know it.
Okay.
There's so many things I want in the film, personally. I want to see Harry come. I mean, I want to see, you know, what happens if what Goblin they're going to bring. Is it going to meet the Goblin from the Garfield films? You know, are we actually going to see a symbiote, you know? Are we going to see any other villains besides the probable Electro and Green Goblin and, you know, Octopus and Mysterio? Are we actually going to possibly see like any of the Sinister Six members on screen?
Oh, we're going to see them all. I mean, just do the math.
I mean, we have
Vulture. We'll be in it.
We have Vulture.
Electro.
That's two.
Ock. Green Goblin.
Green Goblin. Mysterio. And they could bring in anybody else. Like,
yeah, we're going to see a Sinister Six.
Like, just the idea of having six villains in a movie is kind of cool. But then I think back to the Andrew Garfield film where they were like, oh my god, there was too many villains in the film and it sucked. And then there's Spider-Man 3, which had quote unquote too many villains. I'm like, bro, there was three folks in that whole film. But I don't know, man. A big surprise with me would be if Thomas Hayden Church show back up as Sandman.
I was going to say, I really enjoyed
that. That would make me happy. Although I don't like the fact that they made him the killer of Ben. I thought that was ridiculous. His look, his acting, you really felt for him. You felt, I call it the Frankenstein effect, Frankenstein's monster effect, where like he's kind of a bad guy because he's kind of reluctantly thrown into that life, or he just finds himself in a bad situation at a bad time, much like Jamie Foxx's Electro, which is why I love that Electro.
Okay.
But I don't know, like, I really feel like if this movie is even at all successful, it's kind of like starting the MCU franchise with Endgame. I really feel like it's that's how much they put into this movie. Like, if you start the movie, the franchise with Endgame, where do you go from there?
Well, I don't know if you saw it, but Sony officially retitled everything today.
No, I didn't.
There is a new title for it's the Sony Spider-Man universe. Or Sony Universe Spider-Man. It was like Sus or something. But every film that has been Sony attached now is its own universe, and they've officially branded it today.
I told my homie, I go, the Spider-Verse, as a Spider-Verse cinematic universe, Spider cinematic universe is going to be a thing. It's going to happen. So, as a fan, I'm excited, but I'm also anxious because now, like, you know, I know there's folks like me who want all this stuff in a film or in whatever it is they do, games or whatever. And I also know they have to cater to all audiences, right? There's some things that won't make it in that I want, and there's some things that's going to make it in. I'm just like, why would they do that?
All right. Any closing statements?
Venom is way cooler than Spider-Man, hands down. I think he's more relatable. Spider-Man a close second. I couldn't be more happy, honestly. I think anytime you get something you really want, it's good no matter what. At least somebody's throwing something your way. I also grew up a big Conan fan, and I hadn't seen a good Conan movie in like 30 years, so there's that.
Which, by the way, Savage Avengers, which is on issue like 22 or 23, has had Conan as part of the Savage Man. Dude, it's been great.
Like, I didn't catch it until I seen, like, book 8. I can't remember where I was at when I saw it. But Conan is actually the reason I started doing art in the first place. My uncle used to get the old Conan, the huge magazine issues, and the black and white stuff, and I thought it was so awesome, and I used to copy him, you know. Instead of copying the book, you know, the artwork out of the book, I would watch what he drew, and I would copy my uncle's stuff. And Conan kind of is really the book that got me into comics in the first place and drawing. I would love to see another Conan film. I thought Momoa looked great as Conan. I just thought the writing for that film was just god-awful.
Yeah, I never saw that one.
Don't.
All right. Well, we're going to dip out of here. I hope you enjoyed our breakdown of the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer. And I'm sure you'll hear more about it from us as we come. I dropped a meme first thing this morning. People are like, you work fast. I'm like, I planned that out last night when I first watched the trailer. But I was waiting until, you know, people woke up. So thanks for listening. You can always check out some other stuff. There are at least 4, maybe 5 Spider-Man chapters in the Faith and Fandom book series. If you go to faithandfandom.org and go to the blog section, you can literally click on Marvel and all of your Spider-Man chapters will be in one place. And you can do that there. Wanted to say thank you to all of our Patreon supporters that help pay for all the podcasting fees and Comic-Con ministry and stuff like that. So Michelle Byers, Mike Perna, Todd Turner, Jonathan Jacobs, who you literally just heard, Zach Harris, Caleb Grimm, Jeanette Skaggs, Chris Poye, Chris Cook, Jason Bullock, Christina Ray, Sarah Lewis, Patrick Gale, Rebecca Godlove, Adam Davis, and Stephanie Schwann. Thank you all so much for actively contributing and believing in Faith and Fandom and supporting. And we hope to see you all at a con soon. Bye.